Hello and welcome to episode 136 of the Arena Regulars podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Jeff.
And we're your source for drunken Magic the Gathering arena content.
That's right. A couple of regular dudes drinking some highly irregular beers and talking about Magic the Gathering, in particular the online client MTG Arena.
Yeah, and more in particularly, we're talking about the draft format tonight for Lost Caverns of Ixalan. The set has been out a little over a week now. And so we've had a lot of time to play it. And yeah, we're going to get into all the fun that has been draft. But first, each episode, we drink a beer. We rate on a scale from bronze to mythic, just like the tiers in Arena. So with that, Jeff, what's on tap?
All right. So in honor of American Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
It's American Thanksgiving, which is tomorrow, not real Thanksgiving, which was like a month and a half ago.
No, this is real Thanksgiving. We had the fake one earlier, but anyway.
We have a pumpkin pie imperial stout. So it's an imperial stout with pumpkin pie spice and graham cracker. It's called Pumpkin Pie Bestowed by Third Moon. We've tried some of their stuff before. They definitely have a knack for doing odd things, so I wouldn't be surprised if they literally dunked a pie into the mash tun.
They probably did. There's
or like blended it up and poured it in. But yeah, it's a big one. It's a doozy.
It's a big one. I had bought this. I may have forgotten how big the percentage was until about 5 minutes before that we started the show. So oops, my bad. But they're bestowed. So bestowed is like one of their imperial stouts, and they just changed the different flavors in it. I believe the other one we did was like the peanut butter banana jam one was also considered their bestowed. It was like an imperial pastry stout or something. So yeah, we'll see how this pumpkin pie goes. This is momentous. It's episode 136. We haven't had a pumpkin beer since episode 3.
There's a reason.
Because I tend to like them. I like to try them out when they come around during the fall and winter seasons, or the months of the fall, whatever. I don't know. But it feels like I already drank this. I could just feel myself getting wasted.
You have a pre-game imperial stout there.
Anyway, so I'm glad anytime I can force Jeff to drink a pumpkin beer, it feels good. And I think this one's going to taste better than some of the other random pumpkin ales you can get, which I don't always like. So
I've never had one that I liked. And even like sometimes, you know, people whose opinion I respect on beer, even those people, they're like, no, this one's actually really good. Like, you're actually going to like this one. And I never like it. So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Maybe it'll just taste like alcohol and you'll be.
That's what I'm hoping. Like, the Imperial Stout is big enough to mask the pumpkin pie flavor. Knowing Third Moon, I'm not expecting that. And
they're going to dive.
The first one we had, you know, a few years ago on episode 3 was also pretty big. I think it was 9 or 10%.
It was 10. Yeah.
It did not hide the pumpkin either. So
I thought that one. Anyway. We don't have to get into pumpkin beers. If you want to listen to a 10-minute rant about me talking about pumpkin beers, that's from our third episode. Yeah. Go check it out. Ooh, okay. Now it feels like Thanksgiving. All right. We have some Magic news. This weekend is the Arena Open. It is Lost Caverns of Ixalan Limited, November 25th and 26th. Perfect timing for us to be talking about some Limited. Some draft.
Yeah. I won't be able to play in this, but that's probably for the best because this format has not been going great for me.
Interesting. All right. So yeah, let's get into that. We don't have any more Magic news. So what has your experience been? We talked last week briefly about Limited. I've played a bunch more since then as well. But how are things going for you? Not so well, I guess.
Yeah, well, so they're going well, depending on what you're looking at. So my experience has been, it doesn't seem to matter what I do, my deck goes 4-3. And one time I got 6 wins in my very first draft, and one time I got like one win. And then out of the dozen or so drafts, I'm pretty sure every single other one has been 4-3 so that's okay because
That's
like
good.
my gems aren't depleting. They're mostly staying constant. They're going down a little bit, but I'm getting a lot of the cards I like for constructed. So from a build your constructed card pool perspective, things are going totally fine.
That's good.
But from a like, man, I just want one deck to do well perspective,
Yeah.
it's just not ha then it doesn't seem to matter what deck I play. It's always a 4-3 result.
Gotcha.
So I don't think I have a good grasp on like what's strong and what's weak because I've had decks I thought were super strong, it's 4-3. Decks I thought were super weak, it's 4-3. Decks that are in the middle, it's 4-3. So I don't know. But actually, my worst performing deck, the one that only got one win, I think it was one. It may have been zero, but I think it was one. I thought that deck was nuts. So
That's
it
the
didn't
worst.
play well.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just not grasping the format that well. And usually, the way formats usually go for me is I do really well at the start because not only am I in lower ranks, I've just played for a long time. So I generally have a bit of a leg up on knowing which cards tend to be good in draft and stuff. And then as the other players catch up, they start to surpass me, and then my win rate goes down. And so if this is my starting point, I'm not excited for when the win rate starts going down.
It just means that you have to be the one who learns this time, which
Yeah, I
is
know. I'm actually gonna
the.
have to like read this couple of posts about it or something.
Or just tell people what you think about it on your
Maybe I'll
podcast.
watch a streamer that I know is really good.
Well, I don't know who that person is, but yeah, so this format has actually been the exact opposite for me, where I've either been doing quite well or very badly. My like, average win percentage is fairly low for what I would want it to be, because I've had like a good amount of just like train wreck decks that are just like 0-3. And then I look at these, like, we're going to break down all the different color pairs in a minute by 17 Lands data. 17 Lands is a website that tracks players who are really into limited. You can go, there's a bunch of data there, but it can be really helpful to know which commons are performing better or which color pairs are working best. So we're going to break some of that stuff down right now. And as I was looking at it before getting ready for the episode, I was like, oh yeah, every time all those decks that I was playing, they all have the same thing in common. They're those colors. They were trying to do those strategies, just not working out as well. Which makes sense now. And I'm like, okay. Before, I just thought that I couldn't build a good, like, blue black or blue, like black green deck. But now I'm
Right.
like, maybe I just shouldn't even try.
Black green
So,
was my six win deck.
yeah, see? And that's so confusing.
So I was like, wow, black green's insane. That's how I started the four.
Yeah. And, those things kind of happen where you have like emotional attachments to certain cards because you do well with them early, or something happens and you're just like, well, this card's really good. Or somebody's deck, you stumble on lands and somebody's deck beats the shit out of you with a card and you're like, that card's really good. And then maybe it's actually not. So that could
Yeah,
be.
I'm pretty good about like updating my opinion on bad cards, but I'm so slow at updating my opinion on cards I thought were good. Like if there's a card that I'm like it's bad, and then people are saying no, that's actually a really good combat trick in this format, and I'm losing to it, I'm like okay, it just goes up in my ranking. But the like pr good black removal spell or whatever, I'm just never gonna move that down in my rankings, and I
It's
just keep
so
taking it,
hard.
and I just end up in black every time. So
Yeah.
that's like what I know about myself is I. If there's an initial card that I look at it, I'm like, that's a busted limited common, and it turns out it's like just okay. I never end up really moving it down enough in my pick order.
Yeah, because you're like looking at some of the like those cards and you're like, wow, this comes around. I want this every time. And you're just like
Yeah.
constantly.
I'm like, whoa, third pick this card? And it's like, that's not a signal. That's like, this is
That
a fourth or
card's,
fifth pick card. That's all.
yeah, that card's just not very good.
You're the only
Like,
one first picking it.
yeah. And so this could be super helpful if you start to get into a place where you're just like, man, I feel like I'm banging my head against a wall because I just like can't get it I feel like my decks are always really good. Maybe just go to 17 lands, or obviously we're going to tell you some stuff right now too. But if you want to actually be able to break things down even more and do as much as you possibly can, go to 17 lands. They have a bunch of really interesting data that's also really confusing to parse through. So for the most part for tonight, when we're talking about things, we're just going to the analytics section that has like the color breakdowns, and we're talking about cards, specifically commons and things. We are looking at game in hand win rate, which is GIHWR. That will help you piece things and understand what we're talking about.
Now, it's not a perfect metric, right? It's a bit skewed and doesn't reflect pick order. So if there's a card that is like 53%, or like let's say it's 55% game in hand win rate, but it's being taken 10th, that's better than a card that's 56%, or it's more valuable information than a 56% card that's taken first. Like if there's this one that's almost as good, but it's being taken way later, that would be handy to know. So that's why they have a ton of different stats.
Because
I'd
they
like to
can.
figure out some super metric that's just like you divide its game in hand win rate by its like percentage as an average pick order out of, 15 or something, and then like take the square root.
I will leave that to you, because that sounds like a really fun puzzle for our math doctor to do. As Jeff has a PhD in mathematics, but
Problem is, I would need like a curated list from experts of an old set of what cards ended up being really good, and I'd need to check that my metric gets that right, basically. Otherwise, I'd have no way of knowing if it's a good metric.
That's true. That is really true. But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in there that can tell you about when people are picking it and all that stuff and blah 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 blah. And they know, like, if it's in the deck, obviously they know when it's in your hand, and if it's in your hand, usually it gets played. So if it was played, do you win? Do you not win? That kind of stuff. All right, numbers, numbers, numbers. Let's get into it. We kind of started talking about what cards or archetypes were bad. Maybe we should honestly just kind of start there.
You want to
Like,
go bottom up? Usually we go top down.
we usually do, but I think we already started the conversation with like what's going really badly and what to stay away from, which apparently is just black cards.
Black. Yeah. I've been feeling this because I've drafted a lot of black because I'm just getting these cards that, like, I mentioned the black removal spell, right? It's like an instant -5/-5. It seems totally insane. And then Deadweight too has been pretty high in my pick order, and I think I have to let that go a bit because I just keep ending up in black and then having a mediocre deck. And so all the black archetypes are literally the worst performing archetypes in the format, and the worst one is black red. Now, I was talking a little bit before the show with you about this, but this is actually not surprising. Black red's archetype is aggro descend. And basically, that's just asking too much. Your aggro deck doesn't want to have some external additional thing also happening in order for it to be powerful. Like, your aggro deck just wants to be fast. When you have an aggro de descend deck, it's asking you to, okay, be fast, have a good draw and a curve out, but also make sure you're like descending and have these, like not only descend payoffs, but also descend enablers, which don't tend to be fast cards. Like cards going to the graveyard is kind of a long-term kind of thing. It's going to happen over the course of the game, but in a short game you kind of want as little of that as possible. You just want a competing face, so the archetype kind of makes no sense. And then the win rates are reflecting that it's just asking too much of your aggro deck. By the time you get to send stuff online, your cards aren't high powered enough to compete at that. It's now the mid game, and so you have a bunch of aggro cards in a in the mid game at this point.
It does have this weird thing of like, because you can also start thinking about it, being like, okay, well, if I'm descending, then I just want to like jam with a bunch of tutus and play kind of the attrition battle where we trade off stuff, and then I get value when my cards go to the graveyard, which is the idea. But then like, it's almost always better to just have a trick to save your creature and blow their creature out, or move blockers out of the way to deal damage to the face in an aggressive deck. And so then you ideally don't have to be in a situation where you want your creature to die. That's like not really what you want to be doing.
And then the weird thing is, a lot of the payoffs are like it gets a plus one counter on the end step. Like, that's so bad in an aggro deck. That's like a long term ability. Every turn, this is going to get bigger. And it happens at the end of the turn. It has to check if you descended. But like, that's not what you want in an aggro deck. That
No.
prolongs the game and is better the longer the game goes on. So it
Yeah.
doesn't really make sense. They should have given it like some sort of reach thing where this deals two damage to a player. If you descended, it deals five, you know, like
Yeah.
a bit
Yeah, that's
crazy.
true. That would be if you have descend four or something, it deals more damage. I think that that would make a lot of, I mean, obviously, Join the Dead is literally what they've decided that is. Because that's basically what that card does, where it does minus five or minus 10.
Join
And
the Dead,
so
I often forget even has descend because minus five is
it's
almost
so
always
much,
enough.
but it also can kill like literally anything if you get to the end of the game. It's just instant speed destroy, whatever. Though, for whatever reason, today when I was streaming playing this deck and trying to do black things, which is I had a rough day
One of your
streaming.
train wreck drafts.
Yeah, I had a train wreck draft where I was going like pretty heavy black and then ended up just going mono black because I like nobody was
Oof.
getting. So I played mono black and I got 4-3 with that, which was really
Hey,
surprising.
take it.
And so that was just kind of like falling ass backwards up a hill. It was so weird. The deck was bad, but somehow I did it, which felt nice. But then the next draft, I went black green and just 0-3'd, and then the stream stopped. And I was like, all right, well, it's over. It's just sad. So I have had enough of those situations to be like, you know what? I'm going to try to stick away from this. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's I've had too many
Every time I
0-3s.
watch your stream, we seem to be in the 4 or 5 wins
That's,
category, pushing for
yeah.
more. So maybe it's my sideline coaching
I
that's really
think you
coming
just
in
need to
handy.
be, yeah, if you're helping and watching, that'll be really great. But
It's me
yeah.
being like, take that weight, take that
Yeah.
weight.
And so, you know, that is like maybe the one card that makes sense for the Descend deck is like Dead Weight as a removal spell is a permanent going into the graveyard, which that's part of
The
the
problem is
reason why
Deadweight
this.
doesn't kill as many things in this format as I would like.
No, it doesn't kill the most important creature in the format,
Yeah.
which is Sunshot Militia.
Yeah.
And so, because Sunshot Militia is a 1/3, that also makes black so bad because your one mana removal spell, like all of them can't do it. So that just makes Sunshot Militia so good. We talked a lot about it last episode, so I don't want to get into it too much, but it's so good. It's still so good.
I think the interesting thing is, like, if you look at it on a color balance perspective, like, we'll get to this later, but I think red is the best color in the set. But red is, I always love this when one of the colors is the best and one of them is the worst. Usually that deck is in the middle. And this one's like, no, black
No.
is so bad that even
That
red's power can't, like, pull it.
it
It
pulls
just
red down, which is
tanks
so
the
funny.
bottom. Worst deck.
Worst deck.
Now, like we said, that's mostly because of the archetype and not just like the power of the commons kind of thing. But yeah, maybe when you play black red, you're supposed to literally just take the good red commons and then join the
Black.
deads.
Yeah, basically. Or like, yeah, I guess that's basically it. Maybe that, and then Tithing Blades could also be helpful because sometimes the red strategy is like because of the way that Sunshot Militia works and some other your pingers, you don't always cross the finish line before they stabilize. You have to have something else with reach. And like Tithing Blade flips into like a drainer once a turn. So if you can do something where you put all these pieces together, you can drain them for 2 or 3 a turn, and that's how you win at the end. But
Yeah, I'm going to keep my eye out for that. Just like black red, but none of this descend aggro
oh
nonsense.
yeah.
Just don't take those cards. Just take the good red commons.
Yeah, you know like the signpost uncommon, Zoyoa, like that
Yeah.
dude. Don't take him. Like
Yeah. Luckily, I've actually never played black red because it always just seems bad to me.
To be fair, I haven't seen, I've seen like one black red deck.
Yeah.
And
People just
it's
aren't really doing it because it's too much to come together.
Yeah. It just doesn't really, it also just doesn't like jump out at you as something that you should be
Yeah,
doing.
none of the cards seem super powerful, right? So I'm just going to take a quick look at the like how many games have been played with it. Okay, so actually more than Celestia and Simic, but otherwise it's well, like about, let's see, 3.5 times as many games were played with Izzet as with Rakdos.
Yeah.
Oh no, way more than that. Holy, what's going on?
Anyway, but our bottom chunk are all kind of grouped together. Black
Two and a
red
half times.
is the worst deck, and then black green is just right above it, with only like 0.5% higher win rate. So the same type of thing. This black green promises, like, we have Defossilize, which is the sweet black, reanimate spell, and you have all the big dinosaurs that you could put in your yard somehow by milling, and then you could bring it back, and that seems like what you want to do. Which the dream is still there, which is what hurts me so much, because every time I'm like, oh, it seems so good, the dream,
Yeah.
and it just never comes together the way I want. And
Yeah.
Just a bummer. I
It
mean,
does seem cool, but I don't know. Something in the back of my head was telling me like Descent's just not going to be that good. Like, so blue black, I guess this is the way I was thinking about it. Blue black versus blue green. It makes sense that blue black would be better than black green, sorry. Because Descend is a control mechanic innately. And so in the sense that it's going to happen as the game goes. And so whatever deck wants to play the longest is going to be the best Descend deck. Whether that deck is good is still up in the air. Spoiler, it's not. But that's what I was thinking beforehand. Like blue, black, green, as much as I loathe to say it, is probably just a worse version of blue black.
It definitely is. And the big thing is that, like, the payoffs for green are like you said, when the 5 mana 5/4 trampling cat attacks, it gets a +1/+1 counter, or
Right.
weird things like that. While in blue black, you're milling artifacts into your graveyard and crafting them with the artifacts on your board,
Right.
and making super big stuff. Like, it always feels so much better being like, oh, there's a dumb artifact in my yard now. I can craft with something. Like, that feels like a more of a payoff.
For
Because
sure. Or
keeping
like something comes back from the graveyard, that blue black uncommon, like that's actually significant. You get a big creature for free from your milling. Like that is worth jumping through a hoop for. Some of the green black stuff is not.
What is that, Ukbengbok or whatever? That
Yeah,
card,
Aquali, something like that.
the 5 mana 6/4 Menace Vigilance thing that comes back all the time. Awesome.
Yeah.
The green black one is like the
Oh, the
fungus
green black one is
dude.
the Aquali, I think, something like that.
That's the one that, like, if you have Descend 8, then it like can't really be blocked, and it has trample on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, like
I
if
just
it's
never.
okay, it's like a 5/5 trampler for three if you have Descend 4. But the problem is you often just play it as a 3/3 for three, and then they kill it, or they
And then
don't, and then when it gets big later, they kill it. Like
I just
I
I don't
think if
know.
the first Descend got it past five, so it didn't die to an unkicked join the dead or an unpowered join the dead, that'd be different. But even if you jump through the hoops, it's still a 5/5 and it just dies to one of the common removal spells in the format.
It's also like these the inherent, like, I don't know, what is that card called?
It's like
Ukbenbok.
Umbach or something.
Umba. I'm sorry, this is
Umbach. Umbach.
What is, wow, fuck, what is that band called? Oh my God. Oh, one of my friends was like obsessed with that band. The
I don't
three
even know.
boys, Mhop. They made a beer called Mhop. This is
Really?
driving me crazy. Oh my God. They were brothers. They were like, look it up, look it up.
Yeah.
They all had blonde hair.
Hanson Brothers?
Hanson Brothers. There we go.
Oh, are those the
Maybe.
guys with the like spiky, the
No,
three guys with
no,
the spiky
they
blonde
had
hair?
like they had long hair. I mean, they were closer to like Kurt Cobain than like
Gotcha.
they were in more of that world. They had like they felt like Boy Meets World vibes. They were like they really only had that one song was their big song, and
Right.
then they didn't really
No,
do
I've
very much
never
after
heard or
that.
seen of these guys in my entire life.
Okay, well, they
Maybe they didn't make it to Canada.
yeah, they had
Maybe.
like Boy Meets World hair, and they weren't like huge, but like for whatever reason,
I mean, I know that song,
I knew the
so.
Hanson Brothers. Yeah, and that's the only song that they really did, so it doesn't go past that,
But,
but
oh, I didn't watch enough MTV, maybe, you know? Like, I didn't see their music video for the song.
I think they're dancing in a field or something. I'm sure it's something like that.
Good old, like, 90s music video.
Yeah. All right,
Just at the
well,
beach.
yeah.
Okay.
So I guess like Ukbenbach is just like the Hanson Brothers' great mistake.
That's right.
But anyway, the inherent strength in this card is that like it wants to be milled into the graveyard, which you want cards that do that. Like by itself, it just wants to be in a deck that's like, hey, put me in the graveyard any way you can, I'll come back, that kind of stuff. While the green black version is just, some of the mill is like going from explorers, which majority of time when you're exploring, you don't really feel like putting the non-land card into your graveyard. There's a good chunk of the time you just want to keep it on top. So
Yeah.
while blue just has the cards that are just like put it straight into your yard because that's what you want.
Yeah. So blue black is the best black deck by a thin margin. White black is the one between black green and blue black. I have a white black draft literally going right now. I'm 0-1. No, I'm 1-1.
Okay.
But so far it feels like my deck just doesn't really have any synergy. Like the decks that I win are the decks where I just kind of curve out with good white cards. And that's the game I won. And then the game I lost, it just felt like my opponent's cards interacted with each other. And like, oh, the blue red player, I have a bunch of artifacts and then cards that care about artifacts. And I was like, I have like sack stuff, kind of. But, you know, I have this sack card in my hand and I think I really want to sack. And then I don't know, like my deck has three totes in it. So it can't be that bad. But like, I called it Totes an Awesome Deck.
Totes. That deck is a
Yeah.
totes awesome.
Totes awesome. Yeah, but the games I win are just when I go like two good white two drop into a tote into like something else. And then
Yeah.
it's not because of my white black sack synergies ever.
That kind of stuff, yeah. Like I have the same thing where like when I was trying to do like white black sacky stuff, didn't go very well. The
Yeah.
best white black deck I had was like a life gain ish deck.
Right.
So I was playing like I had two Grasping Shadows, which is like that black uncommon that if you attack with a creature alone, it gets death touch and lifelink. And then when it gets three counters,
Right.
it flips
I'm
into
always so tempted by
land.
that card, but there's usually something that's a little more like obviously good in the pack, and
Yeah.
I end up wussing out and not taking it.
So this card is really important. You need a ton of creatures, and my entire deck was just like a bunch of creatures because I also happened
Right.
to open. This was the draft where I pack one, pick one, Resplendent Angel. So then the rest of
Oof,
the deck was just like
yeah.
anything that has lifelink. So I had the Cavern Bat, I had the Ruined Lurker Bat, anything that could gain life. That's why I liked the Grasping Shadows enchantment. And then I had
Yes.
like two Defossilize to bring anything that went to the graveyard back to the battlefield. So I was doing a bunch of that, and then I ended up losing my winning in a just a rough way. I also had Threefold Thunder Hulk, which is like that 7 mana like 3/3 gnome that makes a bunch of gnomes, which just is just shits bodies on the board.
Yeah. That's
Anyway.
cool. I think that's what I would say about black in general. Now, this isn't advice that comes from experience because I've just drafted a bunch of black. So it comes from the ex it, well, it comes from experience in the way in like the negative way. I'm saying you shouldn't really draft black if you can avoid it. Because I've just had all my decks just feel underpowered. I feel like I've won a few games that I wouldn't have won in higher rankings. like just the fact that I am sort of a not a silver player playing in silver is what has is the only reason I keep going 4-3 instead of doing worse than that. But I would say maybe we draft black only if there's some sort of rare or mythic rare that we
That's
hit
true.
early that is just like,
Worth
because
it.
some of like, Aklazots or whatever is just like an unreasonably good card. So
Oh, yeah, you're definitely playing black if you get Aklazots.
yeah. So that's, it's not one of like, we've had colors in recent memory that were weaker than black is in this set. So it's not like a emergency situation, but when you see that the worst performing four decks are all four of the black decks, and it's not by nothing, like green blue kind of sucks, but then there's a big jump in win rate. That's pretty bad. You
It
kind of
is.
want to, like, you still want to be open, you can win with black decks, but you want to have a pretty harsh bias here. It's not like you can't play black, like you cannot play blue in Forgotten Realms. It's not like that. But
Ugh, yeah, that was.
it's close. Like you should probably avoid this color.
Yeah, I agree with your statement of like you need to have a big reason to go into black. It has to be like Aklazoth or Terror Tide. If you have a board wipe that is huge in
Terror Tide is
limited.
nuts.
Yeah,
I've been
so
playing it in standard, and it's just like crazy good, even bigger. So.
you need something like that to really pull you into it. It can't just be kind of some innocuous like whatever. Like I was ended up going into some of those decks because I was like started on white and then black is open because people have
It's
realized that
always
black
what
is not
keeps
very good.
getting me, yeah.
They're
And
like,
then sometimes
oh.
I'll just see a chupacabra and I'm like, yeah, chupacabra, we're
Yeah, it's so
doing it.
hard. It's so hard when like you open a pack and it's like Chupacabra, and then the next pack is Join the Dead, and then the next pack is another Join the Dead. You're like,
Right. And I'm
this
like,
feels
I'm set up to ace this draft. And then 4-3.
And you're like, I just can't get myself over the line. So Jeff, how do we get closer to getting over the line? Like
Yeah.
where do we need to go to get there?
All right,
Now,
so
go ahead.
better than blue black, in the middle here is green blue. I've never drafted this myself, but I've played against it a few times. It's kind of like explore themed. It always seems just kind of okay. Like there's a lot of wheel spinning and like your creatures are you're just exploring and it seems great, but then I could beat them. I don't know. I'm not surprised to see this where it is. I think it's an archetype people really like, so people play it disproportionate to its power level. But I've never really seen it do anything where I was like, whoa, like some of the decks we'll talk about above, I'm like, man, that is ridiculous for a limited deck. This deck doesn't really do that. So it's right where I'd expect it. But I don't have any experience playing with it, so I can't really tell you what cards are good or bad or
Like
whatever.
if you are really interested in playing like Seeker of Sunlight, which is the 1 mana 1/1, you can pay 3 to explore as a sorcery, and then like Tendrils of the Micro Tyrant, which is like the 2 mana 2/2 that you can spend
I
seven
do love
mana
that guy.
to put 7+1/+1 counters on a land, then yeah, this is the deck you want to be playing. Any way that you can like I think that Seeker of Sunlight is a card that I overlooked a lot early on, and I think the format it ends up shaking out to be like long enough that I've had a bunch of games where my opponent has two of these on their board and they're both like either a 5/5 or a 6/6. It's just like S what the hell? Like how did we get to this point where you can just sit there with like
It's
12
ridiculous that
lands?
you've invested like 20 mana into this
It's like,
thing,
how did you do
but
that? But that happens enough, which is
more
annoying.
often than you'd think, yeah.
Yeah, more often than you think. So if that's the type of thing that you're interested in, then this is probably
Like,
totally worth playing in this deck.
I still think that card's a late pick, but
Yes.
for me, it's gone from like unplayable, I never take it, to I'm gonna start thinking about taking it a little
Exactly.
in the later stages of the pack, yeah.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to explain it because it looks like a just stone useless to me because
Yeah.
in modern limited, most of the time, like some of these activated abilities on both of these creatures tends to be things that you just can't really afford to do. Yeah, you just
like
don't
you
have.
usually have stuff to do
It's just better than
every
this.
turn, and
Yeah.
then.
So you rarely are in the situation where you're like, I'm not doing anything. But I've lost games because my opponent could explore two or three times a turn because of this stupid card, and they could get to gas while I'm just drawing one card a turn, hoping to get anything, as we're in
And
top deck wars.
exactly. I think that's another way to think about it. Like, I think I had Explore mentally. I had it at about half a card. I think it's almost just as good as drawing a card. It's almost like a full card because, half the time or whatever, let's say that 40% of the time you get a land, you do draw the card. The other times, like when you surveil one, like we usually say surveil's about half a card. So now we're at like 75% of a card. And then the plus one counter is another, fraction of a card, almost worth the card, but not
Yeah.
quite anything. So
I do think that when you're factoring this in, you should remember that when you want a land, you get a plus one counter, and when you want a
yeah,
plus one counter, you get a
that's
land.
true.
That's
Yeah. So that's
how
the kind of
Explore
the
works.
ineffable part of it. But like it's almost on, I wouldn't be surprised if pros, people who are better than me were valuing it as just draw a card. In which case, I think if this card was like a one mana creature that said four mana draw card, that I would have considered more highly than my initial assessment.
That's true.
So I think that's kind of the way to think about it. Like Explore is if it's not as good as draw a card, it's close to as good. And the reason it wouldn't be quite as good as what you mentioned, like you don't really have control over which one happens. Draw a card, you know exactly what you're getting yourself into all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've listened to the podcast, you know that green blue is not like our favorite archetype, but I will say that this set is, I think, just a little bit different because it isn't this almost always like we've said before, like gr black red is almost always like a sacrifice strategy where you like are just attacking, then you sacrifice the thing, and then the thing gets bigger, and that's blah 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 blah. Green blue is always like draw cards and play extra lands and ramp into something big.
Yeah.
This is not like that, which actually makes it more interesting to me. So it makes me like green blue a lot more, and explore and the merfolk thing does seem to be something that's. I would actually play this deck. I haven't yet, but it is closer to on my radar, where usually I just like completely X out green
Yeah.
blue. Like, I
Like
don't want to play this at
ramp?
all.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Like I'm not avoiding green blue because I don't like Simic that much or anything. It's just full of cards that I are the type of cards that I would underrate. Like
That's true.
every card in the deck is one of those cards that I always look at and I'm like, I'm gonna make people prove to me that this is good before I start taking it because it doesn't seem good. Yeah, so I don't think I've been proven that either. Like every time I play against this deck, it just seems okay. And it seems about on par with my deck, so my decks are bad, so this deck's bad.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
But with that
And
being
this is where we have a big jump, right?
yes, this is the big jump.
And maybe it's worth mentioning because, in case you're new to 17 lands, you'll be like, how can all of these decks have over 50% win rates? It's because this isn't tracking all arena players. You have to, like Zach mentioned at the top, you have to sort of register for this and then it tracks those people. And the type of people who would register for something like this tend to be stronger players. On the balance than an average player. And so all the win rates are above 50, but like 53 for black red is quite bad by 17 land standards. It's not the worst we've seen, but it's quite bad. And we'll see at the top, we're at 59.4, which is quite good, but we've seen over 60. So it's not
Yeah.
like purely dominant.
It's
But
not
here we see 54.6 from green blue jump, big jump. By like over 1.5% to green white at 56.2. So I know it's hard to kind of parse what these numbers mean, but we've done this enough times and seen this enough times. Like that's a big jump. Green white is much better than green blue. All the other ones are like, black red is really bad, and then the other ones are kind of all bad
All,
together.
yeah, they're all bad together. So green blue, I actually haven't played a ton of it, but it is like It's
You mean
kind of
green
jump.
white?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, green white, not green blue. Green white is you know, it's trying to be a little bit more counter-centric, which we've seen a lot in the past. The signpost on Common Care is about creatures with power greater than their base power. There's some explore synergies in both green and white, so that's a bit of it as well. But as soon as we get into these like other white things, all the things are really the strategy is get a one drop that's white, put counters on it, attack. Like that's what get a white creature that has double strike, put counters on it, attack. Like that ends up being a little bit of the kind of how it runs out and what I would want to do. So if I was playing green white, I'm just looking at I'm looking at all the white cards because that's where I started, and I landed on green because that's where I fell. And so I'm hoping to put equipment on the 1/1 flyers because flyers in this format are big because you do get a lot of board stalls, which happens in limited often, but for whatever reason in this format, all the flyers are like really high picks. Like I want Oltec Cloud Guard. I really want Miner's Guidewing and Ruin Lurker
Cloud Guard, I
Bat.
think, is the best white common. I think,
Yeah.
again, this deck, now that I see the answer, this makes sense to me. This deck wants to go tall, but in my opinion, all of the best white commons want to go wide, or they do go wide. That is what they do. So Ultic Cloud Guard, I think, is the best white common. And then Tinker's Tote, maybe you could throw Petrify in there. I'm not sure, but like, yeah, I never really know where the removal spell
Lands.
lands in that kind of thing, especially with, well, there's a sacrifice deck in the format, but also the sacrifice deck is bad. So how good is Petrify? I'm not totally sure, but for sure those I think would be the top three. I tend to take Tinker's Tote over Petrify currently. Could be wrong, but
I do the
both of
opposite,
those,
so interesting.
okay,
Now
both of those commons, but also the go wide thing, the go wide decks are good, so it makes Petrify a little worse, I think. But
That's true.
yeah, so green white just kind of has, now there's some good green creatures. I really like the, what is it, Axjaw? That guy just goes up and up in my rating every time. He's like the dinosaur that explores at common.
Oh yeah, that dude's awesome. The four drop. Yeah.
Again, I think I was underrating explore, right? So I just was like, yeah, that's okay. Now I'm like, this card's great.
It's great.
Probably even better than the frog,
It's a
actually. I'm not
raptor
sure.
with lasers on its head. How is it not
Yeah, that's
amazing?
true. Why can't, how did I not know that that's going to be the
Got
best green common? Yeah.
freaking lasers
But I think that's the main problem. Like, you could see a world where the green white deck is the best if the white, if the best white common was just a little like better for the deck than they are. Like most of the, when I see these white commons, I want to go red white, not green white.
Yeah. And so that's where my mind goes, where it's like, I want these white commons that are like these flying dudes or the cloud guard and those things like that. And in green, you have to put counters on them, but in red, you have all these equipment that you get to put on them. So you're playing like, you can play the torch that gives +1/+0 or just, you know, shock something for two. Stuff like that, where like most of the games are basically one in the air, and then if I'm red, I get to slide into Sunshot Militia, which the go wide strategy works perfectly with Sunshot Militia because that card is busted.
Yeah, exactly. A card I do really like in this deck, I think, have I played this once or twice? I think once. But a card I found to overperform for me was, what's it called? Staggering Scythe, I want to say.
Yeah, the
Like
giant
just the
growth with trample.
combat trick that gives trample was huge for this deck, because it's so easy to just put all these counters on something and then they're like, okay, jump block with one of my Tinker's Tote tokens or whatever, and you're like, oh, like how do I get through that? They have 17 1/1s. This was how. I had two of these, and I was always, literally every game was like, if I draw Staggering Scythe, I win. If I don't draw Staggering Scythe, I'm probably gonna lose. And I have like 3 turns to do it. And that ended up with a 4-3 record because sometimes I drew one of them and sometimes I didn't. But I don't know if that was like my particular build or, something to look out
No.
for with this deck, but I would look out for staggering sizes if you're playing this.
I also think that if you're playing against any green deck and they attack into you, like you're looking for like how bad is the block with staggering size?
Yeah,
Because it is
exactly.
super playable. Because the combat tricks that you run into every single game or every single match or run or whatever are staggering size and Ancestor's Aid. Those are the
Is
ones
that the
that
one that
you.
gives first strike and a token?
Yeah, and a treasure token, the red one.
Fuck that one. That one's ridiculous.
That one's ridiculous. So both of those are like, when we get up to talking about like green,
Pressure token.
red,
Insane.
that's what a lot of the deck is. Like you're kind of revolving around this whole thing. But yeah, I think green white is something I'm fine with falling into if I ever do, but I'm not looking for it. When I'm obviously going into a draft, I'm looking for these top four as we're getting into them.
Yeah, the way I would get here is I'm taking the good white commons, and
Yeah.
then basically the other colors aren't available.
Yes.
Basically, red or blue is not available, and I
You
do
just
not
keep
take
getting all
green.
these like black cards, and you're like, I guess I'll take
Yeah.
green.
I will say this is the deck, I think this is the green deck where the frog is the worst. So keep
Yes.
that in mind. Like the Axe Jaw is way like first, I had Frog as my best green common. I think the Axe Jaw is starting to get in there for me, but in this deck, I'm sure of that I would take Axe Jaw over Frog if I knew I was green white.
Yeah, Frog is awesome. I love Frog.
Okay. I thought you were going
Sorry, that's all
to
I
say
have to
something
say for
else
that.
there.
Nope, that's it. That's just Frog's great, but not.
Frog will get worse as people start to remember that it has reach and can tap itself to give itself death touch.
Yes, it will get worse.
Because there's Frog is mostly, I mean, it's mostly a mana dork, but it has additional gotcha value currently where people just like attack into it. You're like, oh,
And
sweet. Yeah, I'll
forget.
block that.
Yeah, because it's been the first week.
You're like, oh, they only have one mana open. I will
Well,
attack.
Jeff, people aren't as skilled as me, and they don't just attack three amazing flyers into their opponent's frogs turn after turn after turn. So,
That was great. Tune in to Zach's stream to see him attack all those best creatures into a frog and then
hey.
complain that it has reach and death touch.
One of the times it was because I just didn't realize that there's a frog at all because the board state was so
Yeah, it was a
wide
huge board.
that I didn't even see the frog. The other time I was a straight up, I thought they could only like activate one of the frogs. Anyway, but yeah, come to my stream. I'm fine. Anyway,
Hey man, decks that either get like 7 wins or no wins, that sounds like good stream content, honestly.
That's, I don't
It's
know.
either a total train wrack or it's
Is
like a
it good when you
miracle
get like really sad when you like are losing?
frog.
I don't know if that's great. It's not really just
Hey
like a
man,
party
I've
time.
seen
It's
you
like,
run fireworks when you lose.
that's true, but only if I lose spectacularly. Yeah, gotta save those fireworks.
Yeah, only the
Anyway,
special losses get that.
so we're getting into the last four decks.
We're getting into the
Re
good decks.
yeah.
The decks you want to be. This to me is the line where it's like I actively want to be in this deck, anything or any of the ones above. And it's another pretty big jump. It's a 1.2% increase in win rate here.
Yeah. So these next two decks, we can kind of like, let's just clump them together because they're so close. They're
In
both
win
red
rate.
decks in win rate
Yeah.
is what I mean. Yes.
Yeah. And if
It's
you saw this decimal, like this is probably rounding as well. So they're probably insanely close.
Yeah, so red white is 57.4% and red green is 57.5%. They do have very different strategies, obviously. We were just talking about red white, which is definitely a go wide and tap your Sunshot Militia with all your artifact tokens, put your equipment on flyers, all that kind of stuff. Which I've done pretty well with this deck actually, because for whatever reason, not only have I had a couple games where I had like two or three Sunshot Militias, but I also had like two panicked Altasaurs, which is just the 5 mana 4/5 with reach dinosaur that
Yeah, I
taps
love
and
that card.
deals two damage to each opponent. Because when you're doing that in combination with your Sunshot Militias, your opponent's just like, okay, I guess I can't attack you, and you're gonna deal 2 to 3 damage to me every turn, so this sucks.
So it might be no surprise, but red white is my favorite deck in this format.
All right, classic.
But it's so different than the red white. Like, usually people are like, oh, Jeff likes Boros again in draft. But, like, usually I like the Boros deck that's, kind of balls to the wall aggro.
Swing, swing, swing,
This
swing.
one is very different. This is like go wide and then use the fact that your Sunshot Militia is ridiculous. And your Tinker's Totes are ridiculous, and like your Cloud Guards are ridiculous. Like, this one is literally just a I'm going to win on the sheer quality of my commons. And I
Yeah.
think that's awesome. And it's like it's an inevitable too. Like, I'm just building this giant sea, and every turn they will all tap and deal one damage to you. And
Yeah.
it's just like, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
You can attack me, but
Ever.
my board is huge. You're
Yeah.
gonna attack me? My board's huge. I'll crack back for 18. Like,
Yeah.
but if you don't attack me, you take nine. So
Yeah. Exactly. Which is fantastic. Like,
I love it. It plays like the opposite of Boros Limited decks usually do, where you're literally like, I have inevitability. What
Yeah.
are you gonna do?
Exactly. Like, I was playing last night with another huge board game. Jeff, you're watching because my math was wrong. Not wrong, but like I just like forgot. To be fair, I had like about a bottle of wine and like a couple of gins.
You thought
So
when your 1/3 attacked and your opponent blocked with a 2/3 that the 1/3 was going to die. But
I thought that they would have made sure it died, and I just
they
didn't
would have blocked with something
register.
else.
I was just thinking, I was assuming that my opponent was going to kill it. So basically, I had to attack with everything, including my Sunshot Militia, because I knew one creature wouldn't be blocked. And then I put both of my Ancestor's Aid on that creature to pump it up to 6 power, so they'd be down to 1. And then I'd make 2 treasure tokens off of it. And I thought, oh, I just tapped the treasure tokens, deal the last 1 damage. But then I was worried that my Sunshot Militia was going to die. They did not block in such a way that it would die, so that I ended up actually winning the game and doing exactly what I wanted to do. I just spent a period of time getting mad
Almost
because
past the turn.
almost passed the turn and stopped because I was like, wait, it's letting me
Hold
kill
on.
them.
Yeah.
Why is
Oh,
that blue?
there's my Sunshot Militia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your
So
opponent absolutely should have killed the Sunshot Militia. But like you're in platinum. It's not like we're
yeah.
talking
I
scrubs
mean,
here.
nobody really expects the double Ancestor's Aid just so you could use the treasure tokens to deal the final damage.
That's
Like,
fair. That's
that's a
fair. We're
weird.
talking with knowledge. Oh, you definitely should have killed Sunshot Militia,
Yeah.
but like, they didn't think you had any activations of it available, and you were
Exactly.
dead on the crackback. So
Exactly.
their block did make sense.
It did. But
It
anyway,
was a bit optimistic because you had two cards in hand,
that's
and you
true.
made this attack in the first place.
That's true.
So the block was optimistic, but sometimes you got to just do the optimistic thing and be like, maybe they have nothing.
Yeah, it's true. It could be lands. You never know.
And they're
But
just like tired of this game and want to attack with their whole team.
see, yes, and I have done that more times than you can imagine. Just the like, you know, when you get to the point where your brain just hurts, you're like, I don't know, attack all, you figure it out. Either I
Not
win or I
really,
lose. I don't know. You don't, that doesn't happen to you? That happens to me all the time. Or I'm just like, I don't know anymore. Go.
man.
And then,
No, see, I'm sitting there like, maybe if I just keep playing stuff to the board, they'll just get fed up and attack with everything and I'll win.
and I'm the one that's just like, well, the
Too
one
much
that's
snakes and lattes in me there, where I'm like, they'll eventually just attack with everything and I'll win
that's true.
the
Just when people are just drunk and just like want the game to end, they're like, I
Yeah.
need to go outside and smoke before our next round, so I attack
Yeah,
whatever,
that's
maybe
right.
you and maybe you.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Math is for blockers, but I'm a mathematician, so happy to block.
yeah, see, yeah, it's so funny because the math part of Magic is like not my favorite part, and
Yeah.
for a lot of people it's their favorite part. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's actually not my favorite part either, but it is. Sometimes you get a deck that's very like technical and mathy, and it's
Yeah.
like I'm okay with this. Like I can
Rakdos
play this.
Sacrifice is like one of the big reasons I don't play that deck all the time, is because I don't
Yeah,
want to have to do the
it's
math on
very
this.
mathy.
Yeah. Specifically in
I
paper.
did lose a match last night because I'd had
Oh.
a few beers, and I literally just didn't. I just had them dead on the board, and I just didn't attack with my Sunshot Militia because I was like, you never attack with your Sunshot Militia. But they
It's
were
like
at
you,
one, and I'm
yeah.
sitting there with just a militia and no other thing to tap
Yeah,
with it. And I'm like, I was supposed to attack with that. That's right. Yeah. When I did the math in my head, I was like, they're exactly dead. And then they're at one at the end of things. And I've already given them a good game because they were giving me good games at times earlier when they thought they were going to win. So it was just the most embarrassing thing. It's like, and
That's
then my opponent gave me
awful.
an oops. And I was like, yeah. Yep. Oops. Oops is the correct thing
Wow.
to say there.
And the fact that they just like, didn't respect you enough to just be like, you know what? I'm gonna concede.
No, I wouldn't expect
No,
that.
I just
I
mean
mean,
like,
you mean when they're at five and I have five power of attackers and they're like, maybe he won't attack with them. Yeah.
that almost never happens, you know? So you're just
Yeah, they're
like,
tapped out entirely.
yeah, as soon as you see that you're dead on board, a lot of times I just concede because I'm like, I'm dead on
Yeah.
board, I concede.
Yeah.
But I don't usually
But I
wait for
forgot
the
about the
attack.
chance that my opponent has had like three IPAs.
That's
Forgot
true. That's
about that
true.
probability in my
In your
decision making.
calculations. So I do want to point out, we talked about Atali's Favor last episode a lot, and I talked about how it's one of my
So
favorite
good.
cards and how strong it is. It's like the number one red common. Like, I think
Yeah,
this.
that is surprising to me, but not that surprising.
It is surprising to me. And the fact that, honestly, the fact that like the Bloodbraid Elf, the geological whatever,
Explorer?
is
No.
not like on. Oh, that's an uncommon, isn't it?
Yeah, that one's an
Oh,
uncommon. It's still not the best uncommon.
yeah. But Atali's Favor
Zoetic
does.
Glyph, by the way, is the best uncommon by a
Oh,
lot. That card's one of the best cards in the set by
it's
game in hand win rate.
so good.
Yeah.
Like, I told all of you, I told you that both of these auras were good. And that's probably one of the reasons why I love this format,
Yeah,
because
but you
auras
tell
are
us
good.
auras are good every format. And we're just like, yeah, Zach likes auras. So
But this time that,
finally, you're right.
yeah, because they have an inherent card advantage. It's not even just draw a card, it's get a real thing on the battlefield now, or later. And these are probably the reasons, like these two cards, like we're skipping a couple steps, but these two cards are very easily the reasons why the best deck is the best deck. There's a couple other reasons. It's not just these, but the fact that the best deck has access to both of these cards is big.
Yeah. So red green we didn't super touch on, but it's dinos. Like
Yeah, but they're good. This is
yeah,
great.
they're very good.
The fact that the dinosaur deck is actually good, it's not only
Finally,
people like it, but it's also good. Like,
yeah.
we're so used to Gruul being like, Gruul kindred decks being shitty, like
Yeah.
werewolves bad, you know?
Werewolves was the worst deck in a werewolf set. Come
Like,
on.
nuts. Like, the fact that zombies were the best in the werewolf set is dumb. So,
Yeah.
I'm really happy that dinos are in a perfect spot. They're really good, they're strong, they're fun, but they're not the best deck. And they're not oppressive, but they're good.
And they actually have meaningful payoffs, like the new 6 mana 6/6 trample guy. Like, boy, is that a reason to be
Are you talking about the Dreadmaw?
dinos. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't remember the name of Colossal Dreadmaw. The new Colossal Dreadmaw or whatever, the uncommon. Man, is that a reason to play dinos? And then obviously the 1 mana removal spell, which after we talked about, I've been taking it more. And yeah, it's just good. It's just a good card. I just should just take it. Because you, like you said, like you told me, there's usually at least eight, two, three dinos in your deck. And
Yeah, exactly.
this
Of some
goes from
kind.
like, it goes from basically like it's dead weight baseline, and then it gets better in the late game, which is exactly what dead weight's missing. So, yeah, the Dinos deck is good. I just wanted to call out red green because my favorite deck I've built in this whole format was red green. I went 4-3 with it, but it was not a dinos deck, really. It had a few dinos in it. It was all ramp cards on the low end. So I had two of the cards that go get you a forest,
Yeah,
and
glimpse the
then
core.
two frogs. And then I had like three of the guys that make a treasure, the pirate that makes a
Oh,
treasure.
sure.
And then on four, I had the artifact that gets you a land. The creature that comes into play gets you a land.
Right. That card?
And then I had Chmill, the inner sun.
Oh,
And
right.
so
Oh, this is
all I
so
would do
gross.
was just ramp into Chmill, the inner sun. If I didn't draw that card, I was probably not doing that great. But I had like the earth shake. I had two or three six drop dinos as well to like, all right, we gotta have stuff at six, and we're just gonna play six drops on turn four and hope we win. It was just so fun though, because it was like, frog, like Chmill, opponent concedes. But I lost, I think all three of my losses were to pirates, and my rule was I gotta make them use a braid before I play this. But they always had like three abrades. Just the third one got me. I'm like, come on. Like, I made you killed one of my frogs with an abrade, and then I was beating down with this dino, and you eventually abraded it, and then I slammed Chmill. I give you like, what's up, buddy? And then you abrade that. Oh, come on.
You know what's so funny about Chmill? So, if you don't know, Chmill's the like
Oh yeah, it's a mythic that's not really playable and constructed, so people probably don't know what it is, but
Chmill the Inner Sun is a 6-mana legendary artifact, mythic. It just says
gotta
spells
wash
you
it down.
control can't be countered, and at the beginning of your end step, discover 5. You know what the secret text on this card is that I think is here but isn't here? I always think that this card, instead of saying spells you control can't be countered, I always think it
It can't be
says
counted.
no. I think that it says like you can't cast spells anymore. Like that's what I think it
Oh,
says.
that would be way worse.
So
But
every
that okay, so
it's
it'd be like the
like those.
ideal, enduring ideal or whatever, that would cast a
Yeah.
free spell every turn, but you can't cast spells
Exactly.
yourself.
Yeah, it's like all those like epic spells from Kamigawa, like way,
Or like
way,
Sword of
way,
a
way, way.
Fires of Invention kind of
Yeah,
thing.
like in my mind, it's like this is a big, powerful thing, but you can't do anything in your hand. And
Nah,
it
it
just
just plays
like,
something for free on your end step every single
and that's
turn.
it. And you can't count
In
it. You.
limited, it's ridiculous, but it's an artifact. There's a lot of artifact removal,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, there you go. So, but no, you sent a screenshot and it was hilarious because when I first had looked at the screenshot, I did not realize you had this card on the battlefield.
You thought my opponent scooped to Tyrant of the
The
Tendril of the
tendrils.
Micro Tyrant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that card's pretty good, I guess.
It's decent.
and then I realized, oh, no, it's because it's turn four and there's a Chmill. Okay, that makes more sense.
That was just the free thing that got cast by
Yeah, by the Chmill,
the
and it was a two drop. You're like, oh man.
I was kind of bummed, yeah. But I almost had seven mana, so I was like, yeah, maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah. So we're getting to the top two decks.
The
Top
really
two.
good decks, because again,
Yeah.
it's another big jump up to these. And these are very, very close. So these
Yeah.
are, from red green at 57.5. We're now up to 59.3 and 59.4 for the top two.
Yeah. So these are like neck and neck, and these are the ones that you want to play. Now, I have my favorite one of the
I know
two.
which one's your favorite.
Yeah.
That's not
But
the best one.
it's not the best one. So my favorite one, we even talked about these last week. It's not like it's absurd or anything, but the white blue artifact deck is my favorite one. I cannot like I physically can't pass the signpost uncommon, the Master's Guide mural. If I see Master's Guide mural, I take it like almost no matter what. Like
Yeah, I was telling you, every time I've like signed into your stream or whatever, you already have a mural in your pile and you're
yeah.
drafting.
It's just
You
like it just it's a weird
don't
it's
always go white blue, but that
no.
thing's always there in case it's
Like
open.
yeah, it's I just get it. Sometimes I'm like black being like, I could splash white blue for this card.
Don't
And then I
really have any
look,
artifacts, but
but 5-mana 4/4 that flips and then makes another 4/4. Could be okay.
Eh?
But no, this is the reason that I like this card. I talked about it last week. I talked about this deck. But I think what happened was that when I was reading through all the cards before the set came out, this card seemed horrible to me. I was like, this is so slow. There's no way this is going to work. It's a 5 mana 4/4, and then you have to spend 7 mana to flip it and then make 1/4/4, may and then maybe more after that. But you're never going to have time to spend, 7 mana on this thing. You
Yeah.
always do. I don't remember a game where I haven't been able to flip this thing. And or it hasn't been like a priority to be like, well, my hand's full of artifacts. I got to flip this so I can start pumping out 4/4s.
Right.
I for whatever reason love this card, and I didn't think that the
It's a
like
good card.
artifacty weird like I never thought that like I would be playing like 1 mana blue artifacts that do nothing. You know what I mean? Like I didn't think I would want to play the secret puzzle door thing. What is it? Or Araska puzzle door. I
Right.
didn't think that was a card I would want to play.
Dude, how freaking good is Inverted Iceberg?
It's so good.
I've lost that card so many times and I was like, okay, I gotta start just I just gotta get it in my head that that's like a first three picks card. Like it's not like a middle of the pack maybe kind of thing. No, you gotta take this card. It's fucking ridiculous.
Mill a card, draw a card, 6 mana, make a 6/6, and then you tap down one of their blockers. Like, this looks like it's a white card. What are you talking about? It's
Yeah,
so.
I lose to it so often. And then I was eventually just like, you know what? I'm on Team Inverted Iceberg now, okay? I'm gonna take this card very highly.
This is actively a card that I will wait to abrade. Like, I'm waiting for them to spend their turn flipping it so I can
Right.
abrade it. Like, that is something that happens often when I'm playing.
Yeah, great
It's
card.
great. It's super great.
It could even be the second best blue common after Waterwind Scout is sort of obviously the best blue common, I think, because it's like seriously Windrake plus map token. But
I mean, we all black also has like I guess it doesn't come with anything, but it also has a Windrake that is doing very poorly, but that's because it's
yeah, well
black.
that card's awful because it's Windrake that like mills when it attacks. But the problem with Windrake is it can't attack.
But yeah, Waterwind Scout isn't like I think we even it just feels like we're kind of touching over this again, which is kind of why we wanted to put it at the end, because the decks we thought were really busted are still super great.
Are really
Like,
busted, yeah. So white blue is second best, and then red blue red is the best. And like I would say the blue red deck,
It's just faster.
again, it's the aggro deck, and we're still early in the format, so maybe it'll settle out that white blue is better. But these win rates are high enough above the other ones that I think these are at the top two decks, like even at the end of the format. I've never drafted the nuts blue red deck because I think like you told me it was good last time, and so I was a little tardy to the party, and I've been getting whooped by it every time, but it never seems open to me in any capacity. Like people know what the good cards in it are now. But if you look at some of the win rates of some of the like commons and uncommons, like Cogwork Wrestler way up there, Goblin Tomb Raiders, the second best red common, like that's a reflection of the blue red deck being just awesome. It is very, very fast, but it has reach too in the form of stuff like Inverted Iceberg or, all of the uncommons all seem super nutty to me. Like the two best uncommons by win rate are Zoetic Glyph and Spyglass Siren, right? Then you have Staunch Crewmate, one, but like in fourth, right? And then you have. Like you just have so much shit. You have Geological Appraiser, obviously. You have Captain Storm. Like the uncommons,
Busted.
the commons are solid and the uncommons are nutty. So yeah, this deck is just really, really good.
I can't remember if you mentioned Oak and Siren, but like just having the
I
two
didn't,
mana
but that's one of the best commons as well.
the 2 mana 1/2 that just like gets to attack every turn and like ping your opponent and then ramp you into a any sort of artifact or just do extra
Just
artifact
being an
things.
artifact for your, like, Goblin Tomb Raiders or whatever.
Yeah, it's awesome. Or all of a sudden you have two Oaken Sirens and on turn four you can flip your Inverted Iceberg. Stuff like that
And there's a
just
lot of
becomes like
equipment. Like, this wears equipment really well
it
as
does.
well. Being a 1-2 flyer with vigilance, like, yeah, I s this is one of the cards I underrated the most in the whole set, I think. When I was first playing, I was like, Oaken, yeah. And then I just kept losing to Oaken Siren decks. So now I'm sort of like, all right, I just gotta take Oaken Siren, but it's too late because people are taking Oaken Sirens now.
So
I didn't have
now
that edge of realizing it was good before people
early.
knew it was
And
good.
so now we're in this weird place of like, what do we do? Like, how do we, what decks can we feasibly play that aren't getting just like eaten up? It's often the reason why I have the whatever, Azorius Uncommon, the mural that I don't get to play that deck very often, but I always have Master's Guide Mural in my pool because I'm hoping that I can play it. And then I end up getting stuck down, pushing, playing something else.
For me, the sweet spot is red white because, so personally, I mentioned it earlier, but I think red is decidedly the best color. But I actually think white is the second best color in the set. So if I shoot for red white, I know the deck itself is powerful, but I also know I'm just taking high powered commons, and like, unless I somehow end up in black red or white black, any of the decks I end up with, if I start in one of those colors, is going to be good. I just have to try not to take black cards, which I always end up doing. But like,
Which is hard.
if I just get that discipline and don't take black cards, I know I'll get into a good archetype. So that's kind of what I'm going to try going forward, is like target red and white cards, and then like give a bias towards those and give a bias away from black cards. And then almost any deck you end up in will be pretty good.
I think that's right.
That's what I'm going to try. Like I
Yeah.
said, I haven't had a lot of
No,
success, and that's what I'm going to try to
I think
actively do moving forward.
that makes a lot of sense. Like, a lot of the like straight descend things, like the blue black descend stuff, and so there are blue cards that float around, but they're not the ones that you want. Like those, it's almost always just descend
And I think a
stuff.
lot of blue's power comes from its uncommons, like Zoetic Glyph and the Spyglass Siren,
I had an
and
opponent. They
the other pirate.
spyglass. They played Spyglass Siren on turn one, Sunshot Militia, and then the Windrake on turn three. And then like I
Yeah.
just could
I thought you
never.
were going to say Zoetic Glyph on turn three, targeting the map token. And I was like,
That would have
that's
been.
literally a constructed deck.
It's
Like, that
so.
is something I would build in standard to see if it works.
It was crazy. But yeah. Anyway, just watch out for that. The last thing I would like to say. This is more of just like. Something that can be helpful, something that's helped me a lot when I'm playing is that, and it's probably very obvious, but if you're playing against these blue decks that are running around and you're worried about your cards being countered, just remember that really the only counters in the format are blue. So Out of Air is a double blue card, and then Hurl into History, you really don't want to get hit by, but people don't run it because it's so expensive.
It's bad.
But they're both double blue. The only counterspell that isn't double blue is an uncommon Confounding Riddle. But oftentimes I will find myself in a situation where I'm like, do I slam this? Okay, they only have one blue, I'm fine. And I'll just go for it because I'm ex I don't see Confounding Riddle very much. It doesn't come up that often. And Out of Air is the one that I'm most worried about. So just remember that if you're in that situation where you're like, oh, I can't remember in this moment, does it matter? Maybe I just won't play it because I think they might have a counterspell. They don't, or they can't play it. So that's just my little thing that's helped me out. And I've hoped my opponents couldn't remember that Arena tapped my lands wrong while I have Out of Air in my hand and I need double blue and Arena thinks that, oh, well, this spell costs four, so I'm not going to make sure you have blue, white open. I hate
Right.
that. So they're just like, here's blue, white. And you're like, fuck. Fuck you, Arena.
Man,
Anyway.
I've been getting so irritated with Arena recently because I'm just playing a deck that has a lot of creature lands, and you'll activate one and then it will tap that creature land you just activated to activate your next one.
And you're like, why?
I'm like, that's insane. Why?
Yeah,
But it's
why?
it does that, and I've done that like three times, and then I just give my opponent the oops. I'm just like, why would it ever, when I have enough mana? But it's because one of the other lands has some sort of weird priority that it doesn't tap it, so it taps your creature land for it. Like,
Yeah. It's so annoying when you're like, we're getting to the point where it's like, do I have to just play in full control? This sucks. I don't want to play in full control.
right,
But like, do
yeah.
I? Because I'll play a dinosaur and you won't tap my mana dork that only taps for dinosaurs. And it's
Right,
like,
because it's a creature. But then if I
yeah.
have a creature land, you have no problem tapping that creature.
Yeah, it's so irritating.
Yeah. I do not want the Mirex to have total control. Like, that is not the
Yeah.
highest priority land.
Like,
That's
I
the one
don't
I
care.
always tap.
Yeah. It's like, please tap this because next turn it doesn't tap for any color. Come
Yeah.
on. Like,
God damn it.
then I can hold up nothing. Like,
Worst AI ever. Okay, so there's one card that I did want to make sure I called out,
okay,
and I'm
give it
glad
to
I
us.
remembered this. It's one of the reasons I love white. I don't know if you were high on this card at the beginning. I wasn't super high on it, and now I'm like, card's insane. Miner's Guidewing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a card that Zach would have loved from the beginning, but for me, it
Yeah.
was like, I don't know about this card, and now I'm just like, is this. Nah, it's got to be Cloud Guard is the best, but is this as good as Cloud Guard? Like, it feels close.
It's I the all I ever want to do is have a deck that's like Miner's Guidewing and like Helping Hands, basically. That's what I
Yeah.
want. Like I love this is a big like if I see this card, it gives me a huge sign like white, play white. White's open because this card is
So I was
awesome.
passing this card at the start, and now I'm just like, my opponents keep beating me with Miner's Guidewing. Should I just, because I think again, I was undervaluing Explore, right? So it's like, it didn't
No,
feel like enough of a, because I'm thinking I'm going to sack this, but I sack a whole creature and it only gets an Explore, but it's like, no, that it's actually good. And then it's just good in every single white deck. They all want it.
Yeah. One of my trophies had three of these in it.
Nice, yeah. That's where I'm at now. Like, I'll take as many as I can get. I think I used to be like, maybe I'll have one.
Yeah. It was that deck was actually black white, but it was like all white creatures with black removal. That was what the deck
Right.
was.
Sort of what we talked about. Like, just play the white's good, play the good white cards, and then, like, the black removal actually isn't bad. It's like the only playable part of black.
Yeah. And if you have like one mana, one flyers, if you're playing Fungal Fortitude, they end up being pretty good in that deck
Right.
because you can just play it as a +2 and then make your opponent kill it and then bring it back, I guess. Especially on Miner's
Explore.
Guidewing, we get to explore for free and then it comes back.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I love Miner's Guidewing. I think one of my takeaways is I've just undervalued almost like Explore, like I've mentioned, but almost every one drop. The one drops are all better than I thought they were. Like
Yeah, I think that's just magic
the
now.
what the what's the Cogwork Wrestler? Way better than I thought it was. The green one that we already mentioned. Like, I don't think it's great. Like I
But it's
said, you know, it's
just
still a
better.
late pick, but it's not unplayable like I thought
Yeah.
it was. Guidewing and Cogwork Wrestler, like, actively good. Like,
Tomb Raider's good. Like,
Tomb Raider, very good. Yeah, all the one drops. I kind of knew Tomb Raider would be good if the blue red deck was good, right? Like,
The
that's the
caveat.
thing. But
Yeah, does black have one? That's like the good one drop black card.
yeah, wait.
Deadweight? Just a reprint? I guess so. They don't have. Oh, it's the greedy freebooter. That one is not as
One
good.
sucks.
Yeah.
Don't take that one.
So that's the only one drop that's like it looks really the art is awesome. It looks like it's really strong. It's not.
I've never been high on it. People are like pumping it into their standard sack decks, and I'm like, no. And people, what are the, like, people keep calling it shambling gassed, and I'm like, shambling gassed, this is
Killed
not.
this shambling gas killed something. So
Shambling gassed was orders of magnitude better than
yeah,
this. It was
it was
like,
a
it killed something if there was something to kill. Otherwise, it did this.
yeah.
Like,
Scry one is fine, but I'm happy that you say that because every time I look at this card, I just think of you and be like, I'm not gonna take it. Maybe Jeff would take it, but I'm not gonna take it. So I'm happy to know that you would not. So that makes me feel a lot
I've
better.
never picked it. I have never put it in any constructed deck. No, this card's not
That's
good.
I great. Love, love, love to hear it. And I will continue to stop
It would be
taking
a
it.
card like where I'd be like, oh man, is this the one drop we have to play in our sac deck? I guess so, because we don't have other options. But we have a ton of options right now, so
Yeah.
there's no need to touch
Maybe
this.
after rotation or something. You'll get stuck with that
After
card.
Anvil rotates, I'll play this.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, Jeff. I think we've said a lot of things about Limited. I hope they've been
I think
helpful.
I've learned a lot. I think I'm gonna come out of this. I like want to jump in. I want to just like concede my black white draft and jump into it. Try again, you know? I'm not gonna do that. Don't worry.
Yeah,
Like,
don't get
I'm
as
gonna
much
go
as you
four
can.
speed. I'm gonna jump into a draft.
4-3 is good. I have been getting either like 4-3, 6-3, or 7, or 0. Like, and that's rough. Like, my gems are having a hard
The
time, so.
zeros are rough, but the sevens
I've
are
had like
good.
3 0s already, so get out of here.
I had one. I can't remember if it was a one or a zero, but I had one. And it was, I thought, the best deck I had drafted in the format. So.
That's rough.
Then
And
again, it was blue black. So.
yeah. This is all being said, we did not talk about the cave deck. I don't have enough experience with the cave deck or playing against
I've
it,
never
so
played with or against it, actually.
I've played with it once and it didn't go well. So I think it's definitely a deck, but we won't see it until like in a couple weeks. People will start really diving into
That's
it.
the kind of thing that emerges once the format is established, because then there are pick orders, there's that stuff, and all the caves cards are going late. Right now, there's people experimenting, they're taking some caves cards, they're not taking some caves cards, and nobody really ends up with the caves deck. But these kind of, I call them like extra archetypes. I love them because they add some longevity to the format, because this will start to emerge as like, oh, you can play the caves deck. And then everyone's going to be in a mad dash for caves cards for like a week.
Honestly,
And I'll
it'll
just be
be
sitting there drafting blue red, being like, idiots.
unless like I have there's been many like I had a draft recently where I could have had a playset of the red like Calamitous Cavern.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh fuck, when I am I sitting in the cave seat? I was like,
Yeah. Did I miss
because
it? Yeah.
you were saying like the top two decks are really big on going wide and having a bunch of fucking dudes.
Yeah,
And
Calamitous Cavern.
if your deck is just like board wipes are super strong. There's two rare ones, and there's Calamitous Cavern. There's the black one, but that one never comes up. It's just minus two, so it's not very good. But Calamitous Cavern wipes the whole board, and you get to start over. If you have a bunch of them and your deck's that doing that, like I don't know, it seems good. So
Mean, the inherent problem with it is that you have to draft your lands as well as your spells, and all the other decks don't have to.
yeah,
Like, they
but it's
get to
so.
just play basics.
It's so easy because you pick the lands early, and then it's you get all the other cards for free because people don't take them. Hopefully.
Ostensibly. Right now, I think they're taking them on a spec or something. Like,
Yeah.
there's some, they're getting
But
taken.
soon they won't be until everyone does, and then it'll happen every once in a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeff.
And caves is a good time to mention. The common tapped caves are pretty good. They
All the common ones, yeah.
let you play 17 or 18 lands without worrying too much about flooding, because they give you an out to flooding. That's the way to use these. The cycling lands did a similar thing, but like were even better. But the cycling lands were very powerful, because you get to have that deck consistency by making sure, by playing 17, or in that format, it was like always play 18, because you're going to cycle these away if you draw them. This is a similar thing. You shouldn't, I don't think you have to cut down to 16 very often or lower than that. I think you're just happy playing 17, have one or two of these because they are still tapped lands. But in the late game, if you flood out, you sack this, you get a spell for sure.
It's true.
I think these are pretty good. I take them once I'm solidified in my color. If like I know I'm 100% playing black this format, that's probably what this draft, that's probably realistic. Then I see the black one, I take it.
And with that being said, that means that when you're the caves deck, you need to prioritize the common caves over the uncommon caves that are cave centric.
Uncommon ones will wheel and the common ones won't. Yeah, it's a
Correct.
good point. Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to last call. It's been a long episode. It's been a great episode. And we
Yes.
drank a fucking huge beer tonight. And we
Yeah.
slowed way down. It's been really
Woo.
good. We both
Yeah.
cracked into our extra beers. That doesn't happen every week.
Yeah. I had a real winner here.
Oh, Hacker Shore. I have a American classic.
Oh man, I heard they were canceled. How did you find one of those?
I can't. For sure. That was, yeah, whatever. Let's not get into that. But it is time for last call. So every week we rate our beer on a scale from bronze to mythic, just like the tiers in Arena. Also, please remember that this is not we're not throwing shade on different like tiers. Everyone's in different tiers at different times. So don't feel bad when we say that bronze beers are trash. They're horrible. We hate them and we spit them out on the ground.
Silver beers are bad or just kind of boring. Like macro brews tend to fall into the silver category.
Gold beers are fine, but you wouldn't drink them very often.
Platinum are solid. These are good beers. You would drink them again.
Diamond beers are exceptional. You like them a lot and you would recommend them to your friends.
And Mythic is the best of the best. These are the reasons you love beer.
All righty, Jeff. I am so excited to hear what you think about this pumpkin pie bestowed imperial stout.
It's just like the can, man. It's silver.
Oh,
That sucked. I
wow.
did not like it. But I did drink the whole thing.
You
So,
did.
I don't know if I can pinpoint exactly what I didn't like about it. I felt like it kind of failed at being a stout to me, but also failed at being a pumpkin pie, if that makes sense. It was just like, I don't know if those flavors match. I don't like pumpkin and beer flavors together. I don't think they match well.
It's really interesting because I agree with you that it doesn't taste that much like pumpkin. It tastes a lot closer to graham cracker to me. It
I
had
was gonna
that.
say the one redeeming thing is they put graham cracker on the can, and I did get that. That was like the one point I was gonna put in its favor.
So it has like a graham crackery kind of sweet, like that like whatever brown sugary taste to it. But
Yeah,
the
that like, I don't know, weird
yeah.
fake sweetness kind of thing.
But I like this one a lot. I thought this was great. I would drink this again for sure.
It was gross.
I would also just I would give this to somebody. I think that their bestowed weird imperial stouts are definitely tasty and worth trying. So I like this one. This is a diamond. I'm gonna give this to people that are
Ooh,
looking
that's gonna be the
for
biggest
pumpkin
discrepancy here.
pies. No, I thought it was good. The thing is, like, we've talked about pumpkin beers before. I'm not going to go on a huge rant, don't worry. But what we kind of decided is that pumpkin beers that have usually pumpkin spices are something that I enjoy a lot. Jeff doesn't want pumpkin in his beer at all. But if they're focused on putting like pieces of pumpkin or pumpkin puree, any beer that makes it feel like I'm biting into a pumpkin is like awful. And that's usually all the lighter beers. So if you're talking about like a pumpkin ale or like some sort of like blonde ale with pumpkin or what is it? Sam Adams does a pumpkin one that does it's like that. There's a bunch of ones that are similar to that that are like lighter. So if you are out there being like, man, pumpkin sucks, I think you should try some of the darker pumpkin beers that are higher in alcohol. because this one tasted a lot like alcohol. It's very high. It was like alcohol and graham crackers, which I liked for some reason. So,
It was alcohol and graham crackers, and then for me, a failed attempt at a stout was kind of like lurking in the background. I think that's
Gotcha.
the
I
part
get
I
that.
really didn't like. I was like, this is stout like, I guess, but I'm not getting what I want out of a stout. Every sip, I was just like, I want more.
I saw
I
your
want
face
more
and
stout and less like
whatever.
sugar, fake sugar like taste.
It kind of reminded me of some of the desserty Rorschach beers we had. That without being like tequila barrel aged stuff, but no.
Yeah, it's definitely not, it's not for me. It's not for me. I would never drink this again, so
I would go back, get a few, and have them. I'd bring them to
but
like
I
a
also don't
Thanksgiving
drink
dinner.
pumpkin spice lattes or anything like that. So I think I just don't really like
Pumpkin spice things.
pumpkin spice.
I do. I don't go and like order them like all the time. But if someone had one, I would definitely drink it. And I'd really like it, I'm sure. But it's not something that I'm hoping everything tastes like that. But this is the classic. You got me with the stupid picture of the piece of pumpkin pie. You
I
know,
do like pumpkin
I did
pie,
buy
which
it.
is, it's not my
Okay.
favorite Thanksgiving themed pie. That would be pecan, but pumpkin
Pecan
pie is good.
pie. Oh, buddy. You know what? Pecan pie really grew on me. When I was a kid, I always thought it was really gross, and my dad loved it. And then slowly over time, it always seems like such like the quintessential dad pie to me.
It's the dad pie, yeah.
Because it's like it's got nuts in it, and for whatever reason, as a kid, nuts are gross, and as you get older, nuts are awesome. Nuts that you eat, anyway.
I don't know if
Whatever.
that could clarify it.
Oh God, it's been a long night. All right,
Yeah, it's been
Jeff.
an 11% beer.
It has been 11. It's been a while since we've had 11% beer. Getting the old guys drinking this stuff. So, diamond for me, silver for Jeff.
Oof.
Crazy. We never get one of those, but it's good. It's good to have them every once in
If
a
there was a
while.
beer that was going to do it, it's the pumpkin beer. I mean, maybe the first one was, I must have given it a horrible rating, and I think you liked it, so.
I think he gave it a gold. I might have been crazy and given it mythic. Who knows? It those were the Wild West days where we
That's
weren't
true.
used
The
to rating
ratings were
beers.
much, much higher back then.
We were all over the place. So, anyway.
Yeah, I would have given it gold because silver was like explicitly macro brew and bronze was undrinkable. And I
Yes.
don't think it was either of those things. So it
Exactly.
would have been gold.
But silver's also bad. I don't think this one's bad, but Jeff does.
That's bad. It's bad. It is a
Anyway,
bad imperial stout for me.
maybe next year I can get Jeff to try a different pumpkin pie beer
I'm
and
sure
then we'll
you'll
see.
try. I'm sure I was, you know, because I liked pumpkin pie, I was like, this might be the one. It's not a pumpkin beer, it's a pumpkin pie beer. But somehow it was even worse than the others.
Oh, there's no way this is worse than like the Sam Adams pumpkin Boston
Well, I've
Lager or
never had that
whatever.
one,
It's
but
bad.
it can't be good.
Nope. The Great Lakes one, bad. Bunch of other ones, bad. So, anyway, we're gonna go to closing time. We're gonna wrap up this episode. And you can tell us what you think about pumpkin beers on Twitter and Instagram, which is at Arena Regulars is our handle.
You may also find me drafting on Arena under the username Arena Regulars Podcast after I run out
Ooh.
of gems from drafting in my main account.
Fantastic. I love it. If you want to talk to me personally, you can find me at Zulberg, that is Zulberg on Twitter and Instagram. I have fireworks going around me on accident.
Love it.
Is it just like a thumbs up to me? You can also find me streaming at regular Zach on Twitch.
Best place to find me is on our Discord channel. I go by regular Jeff on the channel. You may find me in Zach's chat on his stream. I'll be Blues Brews if you see it. Love to see you there so we can chat about how Zach's making the wrong pick.
It's true. I am not good at magic.
Not
Just
true.
kidding. Not true.
Link for the Discord should be in the show notes.
If you want to leave us a I don't know, a review, a comment or something, go on iTunes or Spotify, leave us a review there. Follow us on all those things. Go to our YouTube channel. We have videos of the podcast, comment, like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. Those things are really helpful. But actually, the most important thing and something that would be most helpful, if you've gotten this far, recommend us to your friends. If you have a friend you think would really like the show, tell them about us, because that is actually more helpful than everything else. And just being part of our community is what we really cherish. This has been the Arena Regulars,
reminding you not to draft black in Lost Caverns of Ixalan Limited.
Good night. All right, that's fine.